Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin daf Chav Ches. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah had mentioned the Psuli Kravim, those individuals that are considered relatives, which are apostle for saying testimony. Which the Gemara had asked, where do we ever find the source in the Torah that there's a Psul of Kravim, that there's an invalidation of a relative to say testimony for a relative? So the Gemara had quoted a Pasik in Devarim, Lo Yumsu Avis Abonim, Abonim Alavis, and it mentions, as the Gemara will start over that point, plural in fathers and in sons. So from there we know for sure that there's an invalidation for someone getting killed by the testimony of his son or of his father. Now says the Gemara, Ashkechan Avis Labanim. We find not only, and we explained this on the previous daf, that a father to a son, but moreover, fathers to the sons. It says it in the plural, which we had explained what that means to say is that there's two fathers and two sons in the pasuk, and saying that the fathers, both of them, cannot be killed by the sons. What are these two sons or two fathers? It's fathers that are brothers. And the two sons, either one of them cannot kill any of the fathers. So we know fathers to sons, in other words, Reuven to Shimon's son, which is his father's brother, Ubanim la'avais, and sons to the fathers, which is the son of Shimon, to say testimony for Reuven, who, because he's ben Achiv, he's his brother's son. Since it says in the plural, we know that either son cannot say testimony for either father, and either father cannot say testimony for either son, which means even to the uncle or to the nephew. Now, says the Gemara, V'kol shekein avos la'dodi, and for sure we learn that from this pasuk, that the fathers, the two brothers, cannot say testimony on each other, because the sons, meaning to their uncles, is only coming through the father. That's how he's related to his uncle. So most definitely from this pasuk, we know to exclude someone's brother and his son and his father's brother. So that we know already from the pasuk. The Gemara continues, there's way more categories, and we want to figure out how do we know that all of them are considered relatives that are possible to say Eidus. As the Gemara says, Banim Labanim Nolan. But where do we know that first cousins, the two sons of the two fathers, cannot say testimony for each other? Because our Mishnah taught, when it spoke about Achi Aviv, who is possible to say Eidus for his father's brother, it said, Hein Uvenehen. Them and their sons are possible, which means to say that he's possible for his first cousin. Where do we know that from? Says the Gemara, Im kein lichtiv krab, because if so, that the first cousins, the banim to each other, were not pasul, then let the pasuk have said, la yumsu avis al ben, that the fathers, in the plural, meaning his father and his brother, meaning his uncle, should not die based on the testimony of the son. So once it says avis, and it includes both brothers, if it would have said in the singular the ben, it would have sounded like either one of those sons is pasul to both of them. So I would have already known the halacha that a nephew is asr for an uncle, and an uncle is asr for a nephew, and so too the father to the son. My bonim, why does it say the sons in plural? Nafal bonim la dodi, to say that even the sons are apostle for each other, he cannot say testimony to his first cousin, which are the two sons of these two different fathers. So the Gemara continues, Ashkechan bonim la dodi. So we know, okay, that the sons cannot say testimony regarding the other one. You cannot testify against him or for him. But banim la'alma menolim, from where do we know that these two relatives, let's say these two first cousins, that they're possible to testify together regarding some other random person? We know they cannot testify against each other. How about together? Can two relatives testify against someone else? So Amram Racham, he says, Svaruhu, it's logical to explain that they would not be able to testify together against someone else. Because the Tanya, like Lenin Abraisa, it says, Eina edim nasin zemimin. The witnesses who testify regarding, let's say they say, oh, we saw on Tuesday that he borrowed $100 from that person. And if two other witnesses come and say, huh, you saw on Tuesday that this guy borrowed $100 from him, that time, on that day, you with us in a different place, you could not have seen it in that place. So they become huzim. So the Braisa says they do not become huzim, which means to say then they actually have, they get punished for what they actually tried making the defendant liable for. Achi yizumish neim. If they only say regarding one of the two witnesses, hey, how could you have said you were with us? Then there's no hazam. It's only if both of them that they're testified that they were in a different place, then they become huzam. Says the Gemara, if you were entertained to say that generally, let's say these two sons, these two first cousins, that they could testify against a third party, so that would actually come out logically that, let's say they testified regarding someone that murdered. So now, because of Loza Hazama, they get murdered now, they get executed, because they tried to have someone else executed, and they were lying. Comes out that the Eid Zaymim gets killed be'edus achiv, with the testimony of his brother, meaning of his relative, because if his relative had not testified with him, then this one witness would not have got killed. He's only getting killed because his partner witness was also Huzam. So it comes out that these relatives, these first cousins, are dying one because of the other. And that we said you can't do. You can't have lo yumsa avos abanim. You can't have a person die to have something liable because of something that's being said of a testimony of his relative. And it comes out, based on this logic, that Hazama requires the other witness, and the other witness is thus causing the death of the other witness, which in this case is his relative, and therefore it can't be that they're saying testimony regarding someone else, because then it's going to come out when there's Hazama, and every testimony has to have the feasibility of Hazama, that that his relative is causing him to get killed, which that's impossible. You can't do that through a relative. On that, Amalei Rava, however, Rava asks on the Svara of Rami Bar Chama. According to your lamdas, according to your Talmudic reasoning to explain this law based on logic, but it's not. What about this Mishnah we learned in Baba Basra? It says, Shloisha Achen, there's three brothers. The Echad, and then a different random person from the street, Mitztarf Imohem. This one person combines with each one of these three brothers. And what they're doing is because each one of these three brothers were testifying regarding the years of chazakah of a person's land regarding someone else from the street. In other words, a person, if he claims he bought this field, but he doesn't have the documentation anymore, he has to prove that he was muhsik, that he had possession of this field for 3 years. How does he do that? He brings witnesses to say he's been there 3 years, but there was no one witness, a pair of witnesses that saw me all 3 years. But each one of these brothers, they were staying by their mom's house for 1 year, and then the other brother came the other year, and then the other brother came the third year. So each brother said, yeah, when I was here, I saw him the whole year. And the other brother said, I saw him the second year. The other brother said, in the third year. But you can't have one witness. There was another guy who lived over there, who was there all 3 years, and he saw it all 3 years. But you need two witnesses. So this guy combined with each one of these brothers for each one of those years. So what the case is in the situation, says the Mishnah, is that that's a valid chazakah. And however, we don't say it's one act of testimony, because if it was, then the witnesses would be apostle because they're relatives. There's three brothers over here. Rather, says the Mishnah, Hare Elu Gimel Idyus. This is considered three different groups of witnesses. And the reason for that is because the year that this brother is testifying, this brother is not testifying. Each brother was testifying regarding a different year. So they're isolated. They combine together to help this claimant to hold on to his field. But each one's testifying regarding something else. He's testifying regarding year one, he's testifying year two, he's testifying year three. And therefore, they're considered three separate acts of testimony and it's going to be kosher. But says the Mishnah, v'hin edes achos la'azama. But they are considered one group of witnesses regarding the halacha of being huzam. Because up until all of these four individuals become huzam, they're not going to be obligated to pay the money that they tried creating a loss for the real owner. Because it would never have been maintained in this guy who was claiming he was a consumer only through the combination of all these testimonies. Because if let's say they had one of the brothers weren't there, and then we only have a chazakah on 2 years, that wouldn't help. You need it on 3 years, which was brother one, brother two, brother three, and this other guy who joined with each one of them. So says Rava, so that's the Mishnah there in Baba Basra. So it says, Nimtze eid zaymim, mishal momen be'ed esacha. Based on your logic, then how do we understand this Mishnah in Baba Basra? It's coming out that when they're huzam, they're going to be paying money only because his brother said testimony. Had his brother not said testimony, it would not have been a chazakah, and then he would not have had an edus, and then it wouldn't have been huzam. So he's being huzam through his brother. How's that possible? El Rather says, Rebbe, what you see from the Mishnah is hazama ma'amu kasi. Not like your logic. Hazama comes from those who do hazama to them. That's why they pay. Not because of the so to speak, grama of the fact that his witness testified with him, and then when they get huzam, oh, because of you. That's an indirect. But the hazama is really coming from those other pairs of witnesses who are being mazam them. And therefore, it's not a problem about the brothers having the same testimony of the different years, even though for hazama it's one act of hazama. So hachanami hazama ma'amakasi. Therefore, says Rav, I don't understand your logic. Here also, why can't, let's say, two first cousins say testimony regarding someone else, even if they're huzim, and yes, logically he needs the other one to become huzim, but that's not what's being mazim him. That's indirect. The hazama is coming from the second pair of witnesses that are contradicting them. And therefore, they still don't have a proof, as we find them in the Mishnah Baba Basra. That's not a problem. It's not a psul in being considered witnesses with him. And therefore, how do we know that relatives are possible to say testimony regarding a third party? And the Rather says the Gemara, a different source. Im Kain, if that was the case, that the first cousins would not be problematic to say to edus to other people. So then, lichtev imkein lichtev kro ven alavis. The pasuk should have said when it continues to the second half, it says lo yimsu avos abanim. Then it says ubanim alavis. So why does it say ubanim? It should have said either uben alavis because it already said the plural of banim previously, which we already know the halacha of the uncles to the nephews. So it should have said in the second half of the pasuk uben alavis, the son regarding the fathers. Or inami heim alavis, or if it wants to go back on the plural of banim, why do you have to say the word again? It could have just said, and them on the father. It already said the fathers and them, and then just say, and them on the fathers. My uvanim, why say a second time, uvanim and the sons? To tell you, afilu banim l'alma, to say, not only are the banim, the first cousins, possible to say testimony one on the other, they cannot join together and say testimony on someone else. So the Gemara continues. Ashkechan krevei av. Okay, so now we have sources for at least the paternal relatives, where we have the father and the son and the uncle and the nephew. But where do we know regarding maternal relationships, those types of relatives, are going to be possible to say Eidus? So that says, Gemara, I'm a crook, because the Pasuk says over there, Avis, Avis, Trey Zimni. It says, Avis, Abanim, and Banim, Avis. Why say the term Avis two times? It says the Gemara, Im Eina In, Lekrevi Av, if it's not important to tell us regarding paternal relationships, because that already said the first time it says Elvis. Which is a klal in learning the Torah, which is when you something that if you don't need it, it can be used for something totally different, but in the same context where it's not necessary for paternal. So although it says the word Elvis, it can be used for maternal relationships to say that those things are also possible for Eidus. Continues the Gemara, Ashkechan l'chayva. So we know, because it says that the father should not die because of the son's testimony, or the son should not die because of the father's testimony. So we find that there's a psul of edus regarding creating liability. But l'schus menol, how do we know that a relative is usur even if it's for the merit of the one that they're testifying? That says the Gemara, Amakra, a similar drasha like we just said before. The pasuk says over there, yumsu trei zimni, that the father should not die because of the son, should not die because of the father. Why say two times? Just say that the same thing applies the other way. Why have to use the word yumsu? And that says Gemara, im eina in l'chayvev. It's not necessary to teach us something regarding liability of death. So tenei in l'schus, and then it could tell us that actually it's even for merit that also a karev is possible. Continues the Gemara, ashkacham b'din nefashis. But from this pasuk in Devarim, all we find is that it's regarding capital punishment. It's talking about death. And that's where relatives are awesome. How do we know that even regarding monetary court, that even there, the witnesses that are relatives are possible? That says the Gemara, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, Meyikra Mishpat Echad Yilchem. There should be one act, there should be one justice for you, which is Mishpat Hashav Lechem. There should be one justice throughout, which is that not just by capital, but by monetary, should have the same characteristics, which is that relatives are possible. Now, continuing on the topic of our Mishnah, so Amar Rav, Rav says the following halacha that relates to the halacha of the Mishnah. He says, Achi Abba lo yoidli. We learned in the Mishnah that the father's brother, his uncle, cannot testify for him. And the Mishnah told us, Hu b'noi b'chaisnei, that applies not only to his uncle, but his uncle, his uncle's son, and his son-in-law. Says Rav, the same thing works similarly in the other way. Af ani, says Rav, so to me, that's I cannot testify for my father's brother. And not only me, it's Ani, it's me, Ubani, and my son, V'chaisne, and my son-in-law, they also cannot testify regarding something of my uncle. Now that has to Gemara, Vamai, but why? Havalei Shlishi Berishin. This case that Rav just described, which he's basing off the Aloha of the Mishnah, is a case of a third generation to a first generation. Meaning, let's say we take Rav as the individual that we're talking about. His son is the third generation, and his father's, and he's the second generation, and his father's brother is the first generation. As we said, his father and his brother are the first generation. Rav is the second generation. His son is the third generation. So Rav is essentially saying that a third generation cannot testify in the first generation. But that has the Gemara, but Vanan, us in our Mishnah, Sheini b'Sheini Tnan. We learned the case of a second generation to a second generation. Sheini b'Rishon Tnan. We also learned that it's possible for a second generation to say Eidus in the first generation. Because we have the cases of our Mishnah of the father's brother and his son. And that means to say that my father's brother is forbidden for me and me to him. That's a case of Rishon b'Sheini and Sheini b'Rishon, which is someone to his uncle, he's the second generation. His uncle is the first generation. So both those two are possible. Then you have the case of the Mishnah, which was the son of my father's brother to me and me to him. So that's a case of first cousins, which are second generation to second generation. But a son to a father's brother, which is a third generation to first generation, that we didn't learn. So ask the Gemara, Shlisha Barishan Leitznan. We didn't learn to that extreme that it extends so far that a third generation is possible to say, hey, this is for first generation. So where does Rav get this from that he says that even his sons are going to be usher to say testimony for his uncle? Says the Gemara, "My chaisne diktani b'masnitin." What is the case of our Mishnah that it talks about a son-in-law? Because it says the father's brother is possible to say this, and his son and his son-in-law. Says the Gemara, when it says that in the Mishnah his son-in-law, it's not going on the uncle's son-in-law. It's going on his father-in-law, his father-in-law's son, and his son's son-in-law, which is Chesen Benai. It's his son's son-in-law, which that's a third generation, that son-in-law. Because there's the uncle, which is first generation, the uncle's son is second generation, and the son's son-in-law is a third generation. And that's the Gemara's question later on. But if that's the case, then the case of our Mishnah is actually a shlishi b'sheni, because it's talking about this individual with his uncle. That individual is second generation, his uncle is the first generation. Then the son is the second generation. That son's son-in-law is a third generation. It's a shlishi b'sheni. That's different than that in Rav's case. That's actually even a bigger chiddush, which is going to be the Gemara's discussion. Rav is talking about a shlishi berishin, and that case would be a shlishi b'sheni. But that's going to be the Gemara's question. But that's what the Gemara's answering right now. That no, Rav sees it in the Mishnah. Rav sees that case of chaisnai telling us regarding a third generation that applies not only second and first generation or second and second generation. We find even third generations. Now, so then the Gemara asks, but if that's the case that the Mishnah is telling us, not just the uncle and his son or the uncle and his even for his son-in-law, but it's even taking a generation further. So then Melisni ben Benai, if it wants to illustrate a third generation, why is it using it with a son-in-law? Why just say that this person is possible from his uncle and his uncle's son and his uncle's grandson? Why does it say then? Why does it pick over there a son-in-law? So the Gemara, that's not difficult. Milsa agav orchi kamashman. Parenthetically, it wants to tell us a chiddush, where it wants to tell us, anyway, it's telling us that a third generation is possible. It picked the son's son-in-law to tell us that even the Baal Ki'ishtai, that the halacha applies not just to even a direct grandson, but even if that grandson is married a granddaughter, who the reason is because a husband is like the wife. So yeah, son-in-law will be even considered third generation to be possible to to a relative. But you see the halacha that these psuli kruva apply even not just the first generation, second generation, but even the third generations. But the Gemara asks on this, however, the elohadetan Reb Chiya, but then what about this brayse that Reb Chiya taught? Chiya taught that there are shmoina avos. There are eight primary categories, which, like we discussed those categories in our Mishnah, achiv, achiav, there's the eight primary fathers, which they're not only they forbidden, but there's their sons and their sons-in-law, like we said in the Mishnah. Shehein esrim va'arba, which Reb Chiya said, that comes out for a total of 24, because you have not just the fathers, the avos, but you have their sons and their sons-in-law. Now, Rashi points out, although that in the Mishnah, actually, there weren't just eight, there actually were nine categories, because except for the stepson, which that doesn't have the halacha of being forbidden with the son and the son-in-law, there is only the stepson himself, the Gemara is going to later address that question. But we'll take for granted that there were eight categories, which is a total of 24, because you have times three. You have the avos themselves, you have their sons and their sons-in-law, which make for 24. And that is the Gemara, based on what we're saying now, Hani Tlasin V'Tartin Haba. Actually, it's going to be 32, because you have the eight primary categories, like we said, his brother, his father's brother, those eight primary categories, with their sons, with their sons-in-law, and with a whole another eight of grandsons, because we're taking it to a third generation. Now, Rashi points out, although seemingly it should be actually another eight, not 32, actually 40, because you have not just the grandsons, but the grandsons could either be granddaughters, which have husbands, which are the grandsons-in-law. But, says Rashi, that would be one, we already, if we're talking about sons-in-law, we would know that it's the same thing. Daughters are the same thing as sons, and granddaughters, same thing as grandsons. So there should have to be 32, not just 24. Because we're adding on a third generation for the halachas that are forbidden. When we're talking about the primary categories, not just them and their sons-in-law, so another third generation further. So why are you saying it just totals 24, not 32? So El Oilam rather says the Gemara, you're right. Chaisnei Mamash, when our Mishnah described in the Mishnah that, let's say, the uncle case, and his son and his son-in-law, it means the uncle's son-in-law. Now, Vamai correlates, then why did Rav call the halacha of son-in-law of the Mishnah Chaisin Benoi? Why did he consider it the son's son-in-law? Because, as we said, Rav's learning his halacha from our Mishnah, which, where did you get this idea of a third generation being usher? Obviously from the Mishnah. So if it really means the uncle's son-in-law, not the uncle's son's son-in-law, so why is Rav calling, and that's where he's getting his halacha from, that it means the son's son-in-law? So the Gemara, because Kivan, since a son-in-law is not the person's own child, Dime Almakasi, he comes from some other family, he just marries into the family. So Kedur Acher Dami, he's like a different generation. He is like a third generation, and that's how Rav understands it. That's why Rav said that my son too is forbidden to say testimony to my father's brother, which is a third generation, that's puzzle to a first generation. Meaning he, although it's a second generation really to Rav, meaning his uncle's son-in-law, but it's almost like the son-in-law is actually a generation after. Because since he's what's called a tsugu kimina, so he's like a generation more, and he's not just like the second generation. Now, there could be a difficulty on Rav, since he's saying that a son-in-law is like a different generation, then why did he say that his not only is his son, but even his son-in-law puzzled to his uncle? That would actually be a fourth generation to a first generation. If he's saying that his son is puzzled to his uncle, which is his father's brother, if he also included not just me, said Rav, but me, my son, and my son-in-law, but that's a son-in-law is considered always a generation later, which is a fourth to a first, and that no one ever heard of saying that that's puzzled. Says Rashi, right, it's just that there were other questions until we say that the source is not going to be valid from the Mishnah anyway, so therefore the Gemara doesn't ask it. But the Gemara continues asking, Ihachi, if that's the case, that as we're answering the Gemara, that Rav considers a son-in-law as a later generation, and therefore when the Mishnah says the son-in-law, it's saying that the son-in-law of the uncle is possible to me, the individual, but, and this is what we alluded to earlier, Havelei Shlishi, if that's how you learn the Mishnah, then we find in the Mishnah that a third generation is possible to say testimony, Bisheni, in a second generation. But the problem is, V'rav Achshur Shlishi Bisheni, Rav actually holds that a third generation is kosher to say testimony for a second generation. Because what Rav said was that I also cannot testify to my uncle, and he said, me and my son and my son-in-law. But he didn't say that that Rav's own son cannot testify for Rav's own uncle's son, which, because that's actually further. You have to go through like a third generation to first generation. That way it's closer than the third to the second, because the only way they're related is going back up from the Rav's son to Rav, to Rav's father, to Rav's father's brother, to Rav's father's brother's son. So if that's how we explain the source from Rav, then Rav himself is not like that source, because the source then ultimately is saying, if you're saying a chassan is a generation later, so then it's a third to a second, and even Rav doesn't say that. Even Rav is only saying that a third generation is also to say testimony for a first generation. So the Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. It's not like we answered this. A son-in-law is not considered like another generation. He's the same thing. When he marries that daughter, ishta kegufa, bala keisha, it's the same thing like that generation. And rather, Rav, that says that a third generation is possible to say his testimony for a first generation, which was Rav's own son to Rav's uncle, to his father's brother, is because it's not, the source is not from the Mishnah. Actually, he's going to Amak Rebbe Lazar, he's going like Rebbe Lazar, who says that a third generation is possible to say a testimony even for a second generation, and for sure then, he'd say that a third generation is possible to say a testimony for a first generation. To tell him, like we learned in the Braisa, as follows. Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says, "Kshem sha'achi abba lo yod li." He says, just like, and that we learned this case in the Mishnah, and that's what we're describing was the basis for Rav's halacha, just like my father's brother, my uncle, is possible to say testimony for me, and that's not only who, it's him, ubenoi v'chaisna, it's him and his son and his son-in-law. Kach, so too says Rabbi Lazar, ben achi abba, the son of my father's brother, who he's a second generation, lo yod li, he can't testify for me. So these are these first cousins. And not only that, says Rabbi Elazar, it's who? It's my second cousin. It's my first cousin. Ubenai, and his son, which is his nephew, meaning it's his first cousin once removed, which is a third generation, v'chaisnei, and the son-in-law, that they're also forbidden to me. So you see, Rabbi Elazar says a third generation is forbidden to say testimony, and the second generation, whereas we said, then for sure he's going to hold, the third generation is forbidden in the first generation. But the Gemara still asks. But Vakati, but still, the case of the grandson of the father's brother, according to me, Havalei Shlishi B'Sheni, that case of Rabbi Elazar, as we said, is a third generation and a second generation. But Varav Achshir Shlishi B'Sheni, but as we asked before, okay, for Rabbi Elazar, it's for sure Kavu Chaimer that if a third generation to second generation is Usur, for sure a third to first, but how could that be the source for Rav? Rav says a third generation to second generation is Kasher. He only says third to first is Pasul. And that says the Gemara, Rav Savolai Kavasei B'chadah, Rav holds Rabbi Elazar in one area to say that the Psuli Kurva does extends even to a third generation, but he disagrees with him on one element, and that is because Rav holds that a third generation is only Usur for first, whereas Rabbi Elazar extends it even from a third to a second. And that's because Rav learns out his halacha from a pasuk. As the Gemara says, my time of the Rav. What's the reason for Rav? Because Damakar, the pasuk says, we quoted this pasuk before, Le'yumsu avis albanim, that the father should not die based on the testimony of the sons. Now, banim, as we mentioned before, is in the plural, which sounds like two sons, which is his, which we said that it's forbidden to say testimony for his father's brother, and even for the son. For his first cousin. Now, but it adds on ubanim, which actually is part of another sentence that the pasuk continues to say, ubanim alavis, but the way you could darshan it, since as a vav, it's connecting it, that fathers should not die based on the testimony of their sons and ubanim and sons, which says, the Gemara, l'rabis dar achar. It's coming to include a generation further down, because the vav comes to include not just banim, but even b'nei banim. Grandsons, that they're also possible to say testimony for the avis, which we said doesn't mean just the grandfather, but the avis means also the great uncle, which is the third generation to the first generation. Now, continues the Gemara, but Rabbi Elazar, he holds like Rav, that the vav of Ubanim comes to include, but he darshans it, that Albanim Amrachman, the Torah says, Layumsu avis Albanim, what does it mean on the sons? Meaning, Pesuli the avis, whatever is possible for the fathers, Shadi Abanim, that you then put that onto the sons. In other words, and therefore, just like the third generation is Pasul, as Ravid pointed out from the Ribuy of the Vav to the first generation, that Psul on the Avis, you put onto the Banim. So therefore, the third generation is not Pasul only just for the first generation, but that first generation's son, Abanim, which is the second generation, is also going to be Pasul, which is the source of Shlishi B'Sheni. Now the Gemara continues with different halachas that relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav Nachman says, Achi Chamoisi, my mother-in-law's brother, lo yardli, cannot testify for me. Ben Achi Chamoisi, lo yardli, the son of my mother-in-law's brother cannot testify for me. And Ben Achis Chamoisi, lo yardli, and the son of my mother-in-law's sister cannot testify for me. To which Rav Nachman says, V'tanatun, and we learn support for this from our Mishnah, which are really the inverses of certain cases that we said explicitly in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Baal Achaisai, his sister's husband, Ubaal Achais Aviv, and the husband of his father's sister, Ubaal Achais Imai, and it said the husband of his mother's sister, which as we said in the Mishnah includes Hain, them, Ubenain, and their sons, Bechasnehen, and their sons-in-law. Now, it's on that case of the sons-in-law where that's where Rav Nachman is getting all his halachas from, because one of the cases is, the son-in-law of his sister's husband, which is possible to me and I'm possible to him, which I am his mother-in-law's brother. So too, that for me, it's possible the son-in-law of the father's sister's husband, which is the same thing as the son of his mother-in-law's brother. So too, you have the case of the son-in-law of Baal HaChaisimi, which is my mother's sister's husband, which is the same thing as the son of my mother-in-law's sister, which there, that's where the halachas of Rav Nachman are coming from where it includes not only these term, but chasnehen, and actually that's the same thing of the next halacha of Rav Ashi, where Amr Rav Ashi also says, Kiavinim be'ula yibaylon. We were in the house of Ula. He asked us, Achi chamav mahu. What's halacha with the brother of his father-in-law? Can you say edus or not? Or ben achi chamav mahu. What's halacha with testifying regarding that his father-in-law's brother's son? Or ben achis chamav mahu. What's halacha with testifying regarding his father-in-law's sister's son? Samalon, he said to us, Tini suet, these are the halachas of our Mishnah. Where there's achiv, his brother, v'achi aviv, and his father's brother, v'achi imemai, and his mother's brother, and that the Mishnah told us, are hein ubenein mechasnein, are them, their sons, and their sons-in-law. So that's the same thing. From the cases of sons-in-law, of brother, father's brother, and mother's brother, that he's possible to them and they're possible to him, then that's the same thing, that he is his father-in-law's brother, his father-in-law's brother's son, and his father-in-law's sister's son, those are the same thing with the case of sons-in-law, which that's the inverse with father-in-law. That's, we learned that out from those halachas. Those are understood implicitly from the Mishnah. Continue on this theme. The Gemara tells us that Rav Ikla Lemisman, Rav went to buy, as we continue to Medbeis, Gevili, parchments, and when he was there, Baimene, they asked from him the following question. Mahu shayod odem be'eshes chargo. What's halacha? Could a person testify regarding the wife of his stepson? Now, let's say there's, meaning, what does it mean, the wife? Everything the wife has belongs to the husband, but there's something called nixi milug, which she owns the rights to those properties. And if she's litigating with another person from the street, a different random person. Now, as Rashi points out, they didn't ask him regarding other relatives and those wives, because that's obvious that since those sons of those relatives are possible to him and he's possible to them, so then he would be possible to their wives too. Because since the sons are fit to inherit their mothers, by testifying regarding those women, that's going to affect those sons, and that's considered a conflict of interest of relatives, which is the same idea, since he's puzzled for those sons, of those relatives, he'd be puzzled to those wives. But the question was regarding Charga, his stepson, where there the halacha is that he's only forbidden to testify regarding the stepson. But actually the son of the stepson, we said, is not Heinu Benehen. There, the it would be permitted to testify the stepson's son. So that's where the question, what would the halacha be with the wife of the stepson? So that says the Gemara, Besura Amri, so he told them that in Surah they said that Baal Keish, the husband is the same as the wife, and Bepemedisa Amri, they said the same thing, just the other way around, Isha Kabaila, the wife is like the husband. And therefore, it's as if he is her, he's her father-in-law, and which the Mishnah taught us that a father-in-law is possible because it's a relative. So though it's his stepson, but just like he's forbidden to the stepson, he's forbidden to the stepson's wife because the wife and the husband are like one, two halves of the same whole. So though for the son he's actually permitted, but for the wife of the stepson he's forbidden. Where, as the Gemara tells us, the Amr of Huna, Amr of Nachman, Minayin she'isha kabala, but where do we know that the wife is like her husband? So like it says, Ervas achi avicha leisegali, not allowed to reveal the nakedness of your father's brother, which means to say, regarding Arayis. El ishlo leisekarv, you're not allowed to come close to his wife. Deidaschehi, she's your aunt. Now the question is, she's not your aunt, she's not your father's sister. V'lei ishes doidohi, she's the wife of your uncle. Machlal deisha kabayla is, yes, she's your aunt because it's almost like as if it's your father's sister because your father's brother's wife is ishte kagufay, and therefore it's the same thing, and that's where we see this concept that isha kabayla and bala keisha. And therefore he would be puzzled to say edus for the wife of his stepson. Now the Mishnah continued and said other avos that are forbidden to say testimony are ubal imai, his mother's husband, and as we said, all those avos, all those primary prohibitions have hu ubenoi v'chaisnoi. It applies to him, meaning to the stepfather and his son and his son-in-law. Now the question is, ask the Gemara, benoi hainu achiv. The stepfather's son is this guy's own brother. We already said in the Mishnah in the case of achiv, that was the first of the categories. So what are you saying that your mother's husband and your mother's husband's son, well, this maternal brother, they share the same mother. So that's the same case of brother, so why are we saying it again? So Amr Birmi says, Loi Nitzucha, no, it's necessary for actually Ela La'achi Ha'ach. It's actually talking about the brother's brother. We're talking about a son that his mother's husband has from a different woman. And that we're saying it's possible for him because it's the brother's brother, meaning his maternal brother has a paternal brother, which is not related to this guy at all. But since they share brothers, That's absurd. That's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, that the stepfather's son from a different wife is forbidden to this individual. Rav Chisda, however, achshe ba'achi achra. Rav Chisda actually says, no, that's not related. And therefore he says it's permitted for a brother's brother to say testimony on him. Now, Amalei, they said to him, what do you mean, leishmila chadur b'yimri? Didn't you hear of that interpretation from Yimri that said that the halacha of our Mishnah, what's the chiddush in the son of the father, of the stepfather's son, that's the same thing as a maternal brother, which he said it means that is a psul of achia ach. So how are you saying it's kosher? Amalehu, he says, leishmila, I didn't hear it. Kolem, in other words, leishmila, I don't hold that that's what it means. And therefore I say that you're allowed to say testimony on the brother's brother. So that, therefore then the Gemara asks, ihach, if that's the case, then the question comes back, hainu achiv. So then what's the case of the stepfather's son, if that's the same thing as the maternal brother? Says the Gemara, Tana achiv mina av. There's two cases of brother. First, the Mishnah opens up with achiv, which is the paternal brother. Okutani, achiv and aim. And then yes, later on, it says a maternal brother. But it's not talking about a case of achi ha'ach, because that's actually kosher according to Rav Chisda. Another halacha, Amar Rav Chisda, he says, avi chasin v'avi kala, what we know as the mechutanim, the groom's father and the bride's father. So you have the son of Reuben got married to the daughter of Shimon. And that says Rav Chisda, these mechutanim, they're not related. Me'idin zalzeh, they could testify one regarding the other one in old types of testimony. And we don't say because they're now related through their children that then Reuben becomes possible to Shimon. Because v'lei damu, that Reuben and Shimon are not comparable, lahadadi, to each other. Eliki achlo ladana. They're just like the barrel cover to the barrel, which is not the same thing. They're just connected for utility because their children want to get married, but they're not considered related, and therefore they can testify one to the other. Moreover, another halacha, Rabbi Barachan, he says, made odem li'ishta arusa. It says a person can say testimony regarding the woman that he's engaged to. The woman that he's engaged to, which halachic engagement, which is even gave her a ring but didn't have the chuppah yet, he can say testimony regarding her. Not considered related. Ravina, but Ravina says, Le'amarin ella fukimina. That was only said if what he's testifying is to take away from her, meaning as a liability for her, and to merit the litigant that's litigating against her. Because he's not considered related to his kala as long as they didn't consummate the relationship with Nisuin. Avliyula la la Muhammad, but says Ravina, but to have her win the court case, that he's not trustworthy, he's not believed, because he's doing it for his own personal interests. So even if you don't say that they're related, and therefore for a liability he could testify, but to have her win the case, he knows the moment he gets married to her, everything she has goes to him, and therefore for that he's not believed. Now the Gemara actually says v'lohi. This qualification of Avina is not correct. Leishna la fuke, v'leishna la yuli la mehemen. Not, doesn't make a difference if it's to make her lose in the court case or to make her win, he's not believed. Because my daitach, what's your understanding that you wanted to say that he's not considered related to his kala? I'm saying, says the Gemara, that they're considered related. And therefore, there's a bias, there's association there, and therefore a chasn takala is forbidden to testify whatever it's about. Because what was your understanding that you wanted to say that he's not considered related? Because he said the following halacha, Ishta arusa, the woman that he's engaged to, loy einen. If she dies, if his kala dies, so then he does not become forbidden to partake from kachim, because as an einin, which is someone that's related that dies on that day, is forbidden to partake of kachim, he's not considered an einin. He was never married to her, he was just engaged. V'loy metamala, if he's a kain, he's not allowed to make himself tamei to her, because they were never married. V'chein hi, so too she. Loy nanis, she does not become forbidden in kachim because of his death to be considered an einin. V'loy metamala, and she's also not obligated to involve herself to become tamei in his burial. Now, Rashi points out, it's only because it said, comparing the man to the woman, and it's saying that she also is lo yonenis, so therefore it says that she's lo metama, because that's not really precise, because women, even if they're from a family of kahanim, they're not prohibited regarding becoming tami, which actually the Bach is Magia, that Rashi himself in Bamatzid Af Yod Ches says that, no, this halacha would actually be going even on the Neshei Kahuna, which, because it's teaching us that we don't force her to become tamei to him. Because although it says lo yitama, which means to say that actually a mitzvah to bury one's relative, it's saying that she does not have that mitzvah. She does not have to bury him. But either way, she doesn't have to be matama herself to him, because again, they were only engaged, not married. Mesa, if she dies, however, eina yarsha, therefore he doesn't inherit her, because again, they never got married. Mesu, but if he dies,
Kevik Ksubasa, she does collect her Ksuba, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia Chesam and Alpha explains, is Toma, where even when they were engaged, she had written her a Ksuba. Now, however, regarding, says the Gemara to Ravina, regarding this that it said in this halacha, that Lei Metamala, he does not make himself tummy to her. So on that you're relying and you're saying, wait a second, a Kohen is supposed to make himself tummy to one of his seven relatives, one of them being his wife. From the fact that you're saying regarding the woman that he's engaged to, he does not make himself tummy, obviously she's not considered a karv, she's not considered a relative to him. And therefore you want to then extend it and say, oh, so if they're not a relative, so therefore he could testify regarding her court case. And that says the Gemara, no. Hasam over there regarding the halachas of him not being metam himself to her or not inheriting her is because b'she'eri tal rachmana, there the Torah makes those halachas contingent on this concept known as she'er, which is relating to intimate relationships. As the pasuk says in Mikra Chaf Aleph, kim l'she'eri hakarav, only for the relative that's close to him, then he becomes tamei. As the Gemara says, Nivamas Chav Beis Mabeis, she'er zu ishtai. What's considered his flesh is his own wife. So regarding the inheritance of the husband of the wife, it says, which from there the Gemara tells in Baba Basa Koftes, that the husband inherits the wife, but it uses the term of she'er. Now, however, regarding a kala that he's engaged to, akatilav she'erihi, she's not considered his own flesh. They were never intimate with their flesh. So therefore, that's why he's not matam himself to her and he does not inherit her. But hacha over here regarding testimony regarding a court case, mishum ikruvi daituhu. It's because of the fact that there is a closeness of interest. The kala is engaged, of course there's a closeness of interest, and because of that bias, therefore he's not allowed to testify whether it's lafuke, whether la yule, to make or lose, to make or win. It doesn't make a difference, says the Gemara, that a chasin cannot testify regarding his kala. The Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that it said, although all the 8, 9 categories we mentioned, the Mishnah tells us that it's going to be not only possible to say testimony for that person for you, but it's even for that person's son and son-in-law, but there was one exception, number 10, was Chorga Levadai. The stepson, although this you cannot testify for him, but it's only for him, but for, and we said for the wife too, Ishta Kagufa, but for his son and son-in-law, then you could testify. Now, Tanabang Lenna Braisa, it says as follows. Like the wording of the Mishnah, it says, Churga Levadai, that regarding the stepson, it's only him. Rabbi Yesi Armegisa, he says, his brother-in-law. Those are the words. Now, in a different braisa, it says, Gisa Levadai, only the brother-in-law, meaning, and not the sons and son-in-law, meaning the prohibition of when one's wife's sister's husband, the brother-in-law, sharing wives, that it's only for the brother-in-law. Not for the brother. There's no problem of testifying regarding the brother-in-law's sons or son-in-law. Rabbi Yehuda Imacharga, he says the stepson. Those are the words. The Gemara says, might come up. What are these two brises saying? If you think that, let's say, the opening brisa, which we would assume, let's say, it's Rabbi Yehuda, is saying churga levadai, like our Mishnah said, that the by a churga, by a stepson, the problem of testifying is only for him. V'hu adin legisai, and that, however, the same thing would apply to the brother-in-law. And therefore, regarding the second brisa that we mentioned, where Behuda Oimer Churgai, Behuda says the stepson, it would mean Af Churgai, meaning when he'd be going on that Tanakama that said regarding a brother-in-law, it's only him, it would mean also a brother-in-law, but also stepson, because he agrees that by the brother-in-law, it's only the brother-in-law that's prohibited to say testimony, not for the son and son-in-law. And at that Vas Rabbi Yisrael Lameim, that's Rabbi Yisrael was coming to say that the same idea. Gise Levado, in the other Bryce, Rabbi Yisrael was saying that only the brother-in-law is there a problem. And the same thing would be for the stepson, which is that both Rabbi Yisrael and Yehuda in these two Bryces are both saying the same thing. They don't disagree. They're just both starting from different points. But they're both agreeing that the regarding the brother-in-law and for the stepson, that the problem of testifying of relationship is only for them, not for their sons and sons-in-law. But that has the Gemara, but if that would be the case, El Masnit and Diktani, then our mission that taught Gisai, regarding the case of the brother-in-law, it said, Hu b'noi b'chaisnai, that it's not only for him, but it's for him, his son, and his stepson, and his son-in-law, Samani, then who would the Mishnah be like? Although we could translate now the brises, as we said, that whoever the Tanakamas in these brises were, so be it. But Rabbi Yesi, who was adding on Gisai to Churgoy, and Rabbi Yehuda was adding a Churgoy to Gisa, that it's only those individuals, but then neither of them are there like our Mishnah, because they're both saying that Gisa and Churgoy are only them and not their sons and son-in-law, where our Mishnah clearly said regarding Gisa, the brother-in-law, is who Ubanai Ubachaisnai. Meli Rather says the Gemara Hachakama. This is what you could say in explanation of the Brises, which actually this comes out that both Brises, the Tanakamas, are the other one. I mean, there's really Machlekes Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yehuda, and they're the disputants in both of these Brises. And they both hold exclusively one of them is Levadoi, and the other one was Hu Benoi V'chasnein, and that's how you read the Brises, where this is what the first Brise opened up, which was Rabbi Yehuda. Churgi Levadoi, only by the stepson is it going to be just him that's puzzled. Avla Gisai, regarding the case of the brother-in-law, it's Hu Ubanai V'chasnein, it's him, his son, his son-in-law, which is really like the way our Mishnah was. Our Mishnah said that Gisai, and now we have an author for our Mishnah, and that's what Yehuda says in both Brises. He says Churgai in one, he says Churgai Levad, but the other one, he only holds by the stepson, it's going to be only him. But regarding the brother-in-law, it's the son and the son-in-law too. V'as Rabbi Yisi Lameima, and the Rabbi Yisi came to say in both Brises, Gisai Levadai, that regarding the brother-in-law, it's just him, but the brother-in-law's son and son-in-law are going to be kosher to the brother-in-law. Avol Churgai, but this is the exact opposite of Rabbi Yehuda regarding to these two cases of Churgai and Gisai, regarding the stepson, is Hu Ubanai V'chaisnai. That is forbidden not only to say testimony regarding the stepson, but it's for him and his son and his son-in-law. Where comes out, and there's actually two different versions of Rashi on this, that Rabbi Yisi disagrees with the Mishnah on two points. I mean, besides for the case of Churgai, where our Mishnah in Churgai is saying only Churgai and not his son and son-in-law, Rabbi Yisi holds son and son-in-law too. But regarding the case of Gisai, there's two differences between Rabbi Yisi and the Mishnah. One is because the Mishnah taught us by Gisai, the case of the brother-in-law, is not just him, but it's also his son-in-law and his son. That's one difference. But additionally, he's arguing on another one of the categories that our Mishnah has described. Our Mishnah said that he's also forbidden for his mother's sister's husband. Now, the Mishnah said that that's considered a relative. That goes both ways, as we mentioned previously. Whatever one that someone's puzzled to the other one, because the relationship it works backwards too. So that really is Ben Gisai, just in the other way around. Because it's her brother-in-law, which she's like her husband, so it's the brother-in-law's son. So he's disagreeing not only in the case of Ben Gisai, but also the inverse of that, which is Baal HaChesimai. Actually, there is a different version in Rashi, which he says that, no, actually Rashi is only disagreeing on one point in the Mishnah. On this, that the Mishnah said, Gisai includes Bnei V'chaisnai, that Rabbi Yisi is disagreeing with. But regarding the halach of Baal HaChesimai, that the Mishnah says that that's a relative, and yes, that therefore that works both ways, that's considered the case of Ben Gisai. Actually, Rabbi Yisi does not disagree with that case. He agrees that Ben Gisai would be possible, since it is in the inverse, the husband of his mother's sister, it's just that the specific unique kurva of Ben Gisai, that's not possible. So what's the difference? If anyway, it's going to be possible because it's working from the other way around. What's the difference that it's not a problem with Ben Gisai? The difference would be is that the son-in-law of the brother-in-law is going to be kosher. Because although, yes, automatically that it's going to be forbidden because of the son of the brother-in-law, but that's only going to extend to the son, not to the son-in-law, because only if Gisai itself was an Isser, including Benoi B'chaisnai, then it would be forbidden. But since here the Gisai and the son of the Gisai is only forbidden because it's Ben his mother's sister's husband, that's the prohibition. That's where Rabbi Yisi is going to be different. But it's only at one point, that of Gisai, but he's not disagreeing with Halacha of Baal Chais Imai. Those are two different versions of Rashi. But either way, that Rabbi Yisi disagrees with the halacha of our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda would be the town of our Mishnah. But if that's how you explain the Brises, ask the Gemara Be'elah, how to turn Reb Chiya. But then, how do we understand this Brise that Reb Chiya said? We quoted this before. He says, Shemayna Avis Shein Eser Barba. There are eight primary categories of those who are considered relatives that you've been to say testimony for, which comes out to be a total of 24. Ask the Gemara, come on. Well, who's that like? Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, but who's Rabbi Chiya like? Like Rabbi Yisi, but like Rabbi Yehuda. He's not like either one of them because Rabbi Yehuda clearly held that there's nine primary categories in the Mishnah because the only exception is the stepson that's not Heinu V'Nayin. And Rabbi Yisi also holds that there's nine because his only exception was Gisa. He holds Churgai is. So Rabbi Chiya that says there's eight, who's that like? So the rabbi explains the Gemara Hachikama. Now this is what the first bias was saying. That was Rabbi Huda who said, Churga levadoi, that the stepson, he's the only one that's, it's just him. But this brother-in-law, it's him, his son, and the son-in-law, again, that's Rabbi Huda, who's the same as the town of our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yisai came along to say, Gisai levadoi, when he then says in the Braisa, Gisai, it's the same as Rabbi Yisai in the other Braisa, they says, the brother-in-law is by himself. And for sure, a brother-in-law who's a closer relative than a stepson, for sure, if a brother-in-law is only him, not his son and his son's law, so too the stepsons. And therefore comes out, Umasnitin Rabbi Huda. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda, who he said that regarding the brother-in-law, it includes Ben B'chaisnai. And the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya is Rabbi Yasi. It's like Rabbi Yasi, who he excludes from being their sons and the son's law. He excludes Gisai, brother-in-law, he holds only the brother-in-law is forbidden. And Charga, which the stepson, only him. So it comes out that there are eight primary categories with sons and sons-in-law according to Rabbi Yisi, who's the same as the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya. Now Rashi points out, again, according to these two different girsas that we mentioned before, these two different versions of Rashi, that some want to say that what we're explaining now according to Rabbi Yisi, that he says that it's only Gisai and Churgai, and that's how we're going, that we only have eight of us for the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya. This Rabbi Yisi holds that it's Kasher ben Gisai. Some want to say is that it's told by the son that the brother-in-law has from a different wife, not through his wife's sisters. That's not where. It's from a different woman. And the reason why they want to say this is because they don't want Rabbi Yisrael to be disagreeing with Halacha, Balachais Imai, of our Mishnah, as we mentioned before, that concept where if Balachais Imai is also, then that should mean that the son of the brother-in-law should also be forbidden. But the son won't be forbidden if it's coming from a different wife. And that's Rashi, so therefore you can't entertain that interpretation. Because whenever our Mishnah says them, their sons, and their sons-in-law, it means from that woman. And therefore, if our Mishnah is saying that it's going to be Aser, in disagreement with Rabbi Yisi, it must mean that it's talking about the son, not from a different woman. Moreover, if it is from a different woman, and Rabbi Yisi is saying that's the case that the Ben Gisa is going to be Kasher, so that it would infer that means the Tana of our Mishnah would hold that the son of the brother-in-law, which is the inverse of Balachais Imoy, is from a different woman, it's still going to be possible. And that's a relative because of a relative. Because it's not even from him, from his wife's sister, it's from a different wife. Then, therefore, says Rashi, that would be difficult according to Rav Chisda, who he says that the brother's brother is kosher, but if the son of the brother-in-law is possible, because it's the brother of the we're talking about the wife's sisters and the son's brother, so for sure then the brother's brother for sure would be Aser, and therefore says Rashi can't entertain that, but rather he's disagreeing with Halacha of a Mishnah, even on the case of Balachais Imai, that he doesn't hold that that's considered a primary category, and therefore that's in other words, when he says that the Ben Gisa is going to be Kasher, he says it even on the brother-in-law's own son from that same wife. Now, Amr Yudim Mishmuel, he says, Halacha Kribisi, Halacha Fazer Kribisi. Now, the assumption of the Gemara initially is that it's going back on Kribisi of our Mishnah, where we said that he said, although that there were many of these categories in the Mishnah, but he said that's a different opinion. But the Mishnah Rishayna said that it was only relatives that are fit to inherit the individual. Now, a brother-in-law is not fit to inherit, and therefore that relates to the following incident, which that would make brother-in-laws kosher to say testimony. Hahimat Nasid was a certain gift of a Chasim Allah Trey Gisi. The two brother-in-laws signed on that gift. So Rabbi Yisuf Lachshur, so Rabbi Yisuf thought to say that it's a kosher document. Because the Amr Yudim Mishmuel, as we just quoted a second ago, Halacha Rabbi Yisi, Halacha is like Rabbi Yisi. And Rabbi Yisi says in the Mishnah that it's only relatives that are fit to inherit. Brother-in-laws don't inherit each other. On that, Amr Abai said to him, to Rabbi Yisuf, Mimai Rabbi Yisuf must need the Machshah B'Gisai. When Shmuel said Halacha is like Rabbi Yisi, who said he was going back on the Rabbi Yisuf of our Mishnah that said that brother-in-laws are kosher because they're not fit to inherit each other? Then Rabbi Yisuf the Braisa, maybe it's going to raise the Braisa the Pasul B'Gisai. As we just mentioned before, that he says that Gisai Levadai, although he said it does not include to the brother-in-law's sons and son-in-law, but he said that the brother-in-law is Pasul to say testimony regarding. So actually, it should be a Pasul document. And that's a Rabbi Yisuf Loi, Loisa Gedaktach. Can't entertain that. Why? Because we're quoting Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel had said explicitly when he was talking about the psul of a brother-in-law, he said, what would be a case of a brother-in-law that would be possible to say edus for? He said, Kegoin ano Pinchas. That would be like, says Shmuel, like me and Pinchas, they have an achi vigisi, that we were brothers and brother-in-laws. Aval, but the inference is gisi de alma shaper dami, but regular brother-in-laws, that they're only related because they married sisters, that would be kasher. He's just saying that, you want to have a case of brother-in-law being puzzled? When you have brothers who marry sisters, then you'll have. But we see that Shmuel holds clearly that brother-in-laws are kasher, and therefore it makes sense that he was saying Rabbi Yisrael the Mishnah, and therefore this is a kosher document. And that said, Abaya back, how do you know that? Maybe what Shmuel meant when he says, for example, like me and Pinchas, Mishim de Gisa Kamer. He was coming to explain the halacha of the brother-in-law. He was trying to say that just like me and my brother Pinchas married two sisters, that's the case of brother-in-law, not like a brother, not like a wife's brother, meaning even a wife's sister's husband. That's what he's coming to illustrate. How do you know he's coming to say that it's only because they're brothers too? So Rabbi Yosef conceded, and Amalei, he said to the recipient of the gift, who was trying to win the gift through the document, but according to Abaya, this was a puzzle, because brother-in-laws cannot testify regarding each other. He told that recipient, okay, Zilkanya be'edim esiru, go ahead and acquire this gift with witnesses who saw it being given over to you. In other words, if there are other witnesses who saw this document being given over from the giver to you, bring those witnesses and let them testify, and then the gift will be yours through them. Because Rav Yosef held, like Rabbi Elazar, who he says in Masechtas Gittin Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that even if you don't have any witnesses at all signed on the document, but if it was given over in front of witnesses, it's going to be kosher, and you could even collect from incumbent properties in the Chasam Mishabadim, because witnesses, according to Rabbi Elazar, only signed on the document because of Tikkun Olam, so that they should be available, but really, according to the primary halacha, you don't have to have even witnesses signed on it. So even if you're going to say that, okay, brother-in-laws are not kosher, but if you have witnesses who saw it being given to you, that'll be good enough. On that, asked Abaye, still on Rav Yosef, but Vamra Baba said that Maidir Rabbi Elazar, although Rabbi Elazar says a document is kosher even without any witnesses at all, but he agrees, b'mezuyif mitaychei, when it's intrinsically forged, where in it you have edim that apostle signed on it, which that's what's coming out if we say that these two brother-in-laws are edim sulam for each other, shehu pasul, that makes the entire document invalid, because with what is this recipient acquiring? With this piece of paper, with this document, but it's considered like a shard of earthenware because it has no validity whatsoever because it's intrinsically flawed. And therefore, even Edom Isir will not help. So, Rabbi Yosef said to recipient of the gift, Zil go, Leishavkili Daisvinilach, they don't let me give you this gift because A, they said the witnesses are not valid, and now even Edom Isir are not going to help because Pasla Edom, relative sign in it, which makes it Mezuzh Mitaychai, and therefore you don't get the gift through this document. Like Mark continues explaining from our Mishnah, Reb Yehuda Eimer B'chulu, he said, regarding this halacha of that we said, so relatives are pasul, but we said, the Tanakhama said, but if they're relatives, and then v'nisrachka, which means, say, let's say a son-in-law who is related to his father-in-law, but then his wife dies, and then he sees something regarding for the father-in-law, he could testify because he's not related to him anymore. Reb Yehuda says, no, even after his wife passes away, since he has children from her, he's still not allowed to testify. It's still a problem about being a relative. Now, Amr Tancham, Amr Tavla, Amr Beroyna, Amr Rav. It says, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, even if they're not related anymore, but since they were at one point, he cannot testify. But whereas Rav Amr of Nachman, he says, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. No, if you're not related anymore, then there's no problem. Pechin Amr Rabbi Baruchan, Amr Bechanan, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Igid Masn La, Lahadi Rabbi Baruchan, there were those who taught this teaching, Rabbi Baruchan, which was illustrating this concept, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is no relationship anymore after there was distancing already, like when his wife passed away, that he's not related to his father-in-law anymore, not on the halacha of our Mishnah, to say, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held that you're still considered related, rather, aha, on the following halacha. As Zudarsh Rabbi Yosef Gluli, the Brisa says, this is what Rabbi Yosef Gluli expounded. The Pasuk says in the Varam, Uvasa lakan malvim, you'll come to the Kahan and the Levim, v'lashevet ashiyah b'yam ha'im, and to the judges that are in your days. Now, in those days, this is a b'yomahim in those days. Now, the question of chitala daitcha, what it would enter your understanding, sh'adam hoylich etzel shayvet shlohoye b'yomav, that a person should go to judge that's not in his days? What does this mean? Or rather, what it means is, zeshah yukar v'nisrachik. It's referring to someone that was related, but it's not related anymore. Meaning, because it depends, b'yomahim, in those moments, is he related now? No, he's not related. Then it's no problem about being an aid or a dayan. On that, Rabbi Yechanan, he says, halacha falls like this drasha, Rabbi Yisak Lili, which again is the same thing as saying it on our Mishnah, that ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda, where if a person was carved in Nisrachik, then you're not considered related anymore. Not like Rabbi Yehuda, who said you're still considered related. And the Gemara illustrates this halacha with the following incident. B'nei Chamu de Mar Ukva, the sons of the father-in-law of Mar Ukva, and his brother-in-laws, as you continue on top of Chavtes and Aleph, were Karevim b'Nisrach Kuhab, but they were considered relatives, but then distant, because their sister, who was the wife of Mar Ukva, passed away, so they weren't related anymore. Asla Kamei Ladin, they came in front of him for a court case. Amlahui said to them, Pesilna L'chu Ladina, I am invalid to judge your court case. Amrali, they said to him, my daitcha, what's your understanding? What's your opinion? Krabi Huda? Could you hold a Krabi Huda that since once we were related, now even though we're not related anymore, we're still considered related? Anan Mesina Nigarti Mamrov will bring you a letter from the West from Eretz Yisrael, the in Aloha Krabi Huda. As we said before, Aloha does not follow like Krabi Huda. Amalahu, he said to them, what? Atu Bakava de Kira Idvakna Bahu? What, you think that for a measurement, a kav of wax, I'm attached to you like we're attached by the hip? Of course I'm not attached to you anymore. You're right, I agree that Aloha is not like a Yehuda. And although we were once related, we're not considered related anymore. I didn't tell you that I'm invalid to be a judge for you. Of course, I'm a kosher judge. We're not related anymore. It's just because you're not going to listen to the court case. I'm your brother-in-law. You're not going to pay attention. You're not going to think of me as this great rabbi. You're not going to listen. That's why I said I'm invalid. Not because intrinsically, of course, we don't pass like a Yehuda. Halacha is that if you're carved in a Srachik, you're not considered related anymore. But it's for a different reason. I said I'm not going to be a good judge for this court case.